Believe in yourself, cause it starts with you, and then everyone else will believe you too. And if it looks like you're the only believer around, just keep on believing, don't put yourself down, just believe.
Our guest tonight grew up in Livonia, Michigan, and began learning about cooking as an infant. By 14, he was creating his own signature dishes. In 2002, he opened Bacco Restaurante in Southfield, which was named the Restaurant of the Year in 2005 by Our Magazine. He has recently opened Pizzeria Biga. His name, Chef Luciano Del Signore. What a glorious name. And I'm Jack Rasula, and this is Anything Is Possible on News Talk 760 WJR. This is Anything Is Possible, and I'm your host, Jack Crisula, and we're with Luciano Del Signore, the proprietor and founder of Bacco Restaurante in Southfield. Luciano, honored to have you on the show.
Thank you, Jack. It's a pleasure to be here.
Can we start? I think the first question people would want to know is, how are you doing in recovering from your accident of August 7th?
Well, I think I'm doing great. I'm pretty fortunate to have made just about 100% recovery back from that little spill I had, and I'm feeling very strong again.
Little spill, you flew forward off a Segway going into the Biga parking lot that evening. What happened?
Well, I passed out while I was on the Segway. I had a little incident, and it was a minor incident that the doctors have been able to discover why, the reason I fainted, and that's been taken care of. And then due to a result of the fainting, I fell over on my Segway, kind of fell over like a tree, and fell right on my head. And I suffered a significant concussion, and I bruised both frontal lobes of my brain. And all that has been healed, recovered, and I made a pretty quick recovery, in fact, and back to normal.
And you look great.
Thank you.
God is good.
Yes.
Can you talk about your childhood and your mom and your dad?
As I grew up, I remember being around my parents a lot in the kitchen. My parents were both immigrants that came to the United States from Italy. My father was one of five children in his family, the eldest son, and my mother was one of eight children in her family, and they were the only two, after they got married, they came to the United States, and they were the only two in their families to do so, to immigrate to the United States. So growing up around my parents was very much that thing. We had no aunts, no uncles, no cousins, no immediate relatives. They were new to the language, new to the country. So we grew up really right at their, coattails and my mom's skirt, and stayed right next to my parents a lot. So as they grew in America and prospered in business, my father found his way in the restaurant business. A few years after he arrived, he opened a little pizzeria. We were very much right there next to my parents the whole way, and watched them, my brother and I watched them from the starting, the inception of their business all the way through our childhood.
They opened Fonte d'Amore in Livonia. Why that name?
Fonte d'Amore was the town both my parents were both born in. Fonte d'Amore is a little sub-city in a much bigger town called Sulmona in the region of Abruzzo, Italy. So Fonte d'Amore translates to Fountain of Love, because there was a, back in ancient days, more than 1,500 years ago, there was a poet who lived up in the mountains. His name was Ovidio, who fell in love with the little town's maiden there from our town. And there was always fresh running water in our town, and it came right from the mountaintops. And they named the town Fonte d'Amore, Fountain of Love, from where he fell in love. So that was the name of the restaurant where both my parents were born and raised in Italy.
Mom and Dad sold the restaurant in 2006, but they still own the Laurel Manor Banquet Center,
yes,
which is operated by your brother Tom and his wife Nancy.
There was now my late brother Costantino. and Tino was his name, and my sister Nancy had moved to Chicago. So really, my father's been pretty much the stern operator of that company since its inception, and he had a lot of help from all of us children, but he's always been the strength and the backbone behind that company.
Luciano, why have so many Italian immigrants gotten into the food business, be it the distribution, restaurants? How do you explain that?
I think that, you know, I think when the wave of immigrants came over to the United States through way of Ellis Island into the United States, I just think that they found a natural need for high-quality food in this country, and they, and Italians were very, very good with their hands, and there isn't an Italian household that I've ever been into in my life in Italy, and I've been to Italy more than 35 times in my life, that you can't find people that just can't cook basic Italian cooking very, very well, like better than you can find in Italian restaurants in this country. So I think that it was just a natural fit for them, and cooking was easy for them, and they figured that they could do it well, and people needed that high-level cuisine.
Let's go back 8 years, 2002, and you opened Bacco.
Yes.
Why did you do that?
You know, I was, at that time, I was running my father's restaurant, Fonte di Amore, for many years. And when I say running it, I talked my dad into closing it down, remodeling it, and letting me turn it into a more upscale fine dining Italian restaurant. Because as my father opened it and ran it, it was kind of more of an Italian American theme, and a lot of how many restaurants were opened up, they always had an Italian side to them and a little American cuisine sprinkled in. And I went to a more traditional Italian type cooking that I saw was going on in Italy in modern times, and. And as I grew that business there in Livonia and took that operation over, I started to entertain to a clientele that was coming from Franklin and Bloomfield and Birmingham. And they were starting to, that sector of my business was growing and growing bigger and bigger. And I was noticing these people that they weren't coming to me. They couldn't come as a weekly patron because it was a long way to go to the south side of Livonia from Bloomfield Hills or Birmingham. But they were coming monthly, and many of them whispered to me in my ear many times, God, if you were only closer, we love your food so much, we love this. And when I had the opportunity to buy Ristorante Di Modesta, when I heard that had come up, I just thought it was a good fit for me, and finally make that opportunity to go close to that clientele that I found myself better suited for than even the clientele in the neighborhoods where I was positioned in Livonia. So I came closer to the market that I wanted to be in.
And the rest is history.
Yes.
We're talking to Luciano Del Signore, and I'm Jack Rasulla, and this is Anything Is Possible on News Talk 760 WJR. Welcome back to Anything Is Possible. I'm Jack Rasulla, and we're with Luciano Del Signore, Bacco's Ristorante and recently opened Pizzeria Biga. Luciano, the restaurant game is as tough a game as there is in business. How do you explain you've been so successful?
I think Bacco has remained successful because we haven't found, we haven't forgotten that we're in the business to cater, and we try our hardest to cater to all of our clients' needs. And there's a lot of individual needs and wants and likenesses that our clients have, and we just try to mold ourselves to making them all feel very special, and we try to touch as many people as we can as they come through our doors, by way of myself and my management staff, who have all been with me for a long time, people that you know, like Alberto and Stoli and Valentino and the lovely Elena, always at the front door, and the people that are there, their faces don't change. And I think that's been beneficial for us.
Your book cover is Neil, the valet.
Yes.
On your first, okay.
Yeah.
If you want to learn more, www.bacco ristorante.com. The food is fabulous, and it's almost an art form. The bird's nest salad, the strozzapreti. How did you come up with the style? It's very Parisian how you put it on the plate.
I think how Bakwe evolved into the menu that it has today, and being that it's always a constantly changing menu, is that we've always tried to find and outsource the finest ingredients. And I know that that's spoken about a lot by chefs, but we really mean it. I mean, we really aren't afraid to make changes as changes are needed. And, you know, since the economy has went in the direction it has in the fall of 2008, we found even more of a need to do as much as our purchasing here in Michigan and trying to find local farmers that are smaller companies that produce, you know, higher quality products. And though they're more expensive, it shows in the end result of the product. And I think that it's just all been tailor fit by the ingredients we can find here in Michigan and here in the United States, opposed to the ingredients you're going to find readily available in Italy.
Luciano, everybody that comes to Bakwe's expects a fabulous meal every time. How do you get every teammate to do their best each meal?
We do that strictly by overseeing all of them. And I think everybody knows who dines at Bakwe's that my presence there is quite a bit. I try to make as many shifts a week as possible that the restaurant is open. And I spend a lot of time training my kitchen staff, as well as my management team spending a lot of time training the service staff. And we try to oversee the people and the plates that come through the window, every single one of them, and kind of touch them before they go out to the table and make sure that they're made to our specification and high quality.
Everybody that I've ever encountered there seems to love to be there. These are the workers, the teammates. How have you won the hearts of your team?
To me, I think it's just treating them with great respect and treating them as my own family, and that's how I feel about my crew and my employees there. I don't feel like I'm going to work or I'm talking to employees. I feel like that I have parts of my family there. I spend as much time with them or more time with them than I do with my own personal family, and I tell them all and every day in our meetings and lineup when we get together, if this gets to the point where it's not fun anymore, then it won't be good for any one of us. That it's very, very important that, you know, we're all there to do our job and we're there to do work, but we're trying to have a little bit of fun along the way and understand a little bit about each other's personal lives and have a little camaraderie and treat them like human beings. And I hope that they respect me for that and treat me very much the same way.
In these 8 years, the reputation of what a fabulous restaurant it is has spread throughout America. So you get a lot of famous people when they come to town. Do you ever put your head on the pillow and say, wow, so-and-so was in tonight?
You know, over the, it's coming up on almost 9 years we've been at Bakwe in March of 2011. And over the almost 9 years, we've had some pretty significant names come through the door, a lot of celebrities. And I've never really been starstricken by the celebrities that come through the door. Some of my staff, even my wife Monica, gets a little more starstruck by celebrities than I do. But I'm very, very thankful, and it's an honor that they choose Bakwe or know amongst, you know, in their own circle and community that Bakwe represents the highest quality. And it's just an honor for me to have them come in on a regular basis and dine with us.
Our magazine named it the best restaurant of the year in 2005, and Zagat listed as one of America's top restaurants year after year. These last couple of years, you touched on it in the earlier segment, unprecedented times the last couple of years. How has that affected Bakwe's?
We were very, very fortunate to come through the economy the way that we did. We found a way to grow in it. And it took a lot of creativity, and it took a lot of hard work. But in looking back, it made us a better company. It made us find ways to run leaner and to run smarter. And I'm proud to say that we never sacrificed one job at Bakwe Ristorante during this whole recessionary period. And we have grown in number of employees there, and we've also, as you mentioned, opened Pizzeria B and created another 55 jobs down the street. So, but I think it's I think it's not, we've been able to maintain it by not sacrificing our quality and not sacrificing our focus on what we sought out to do, and that's to bring the highest quality food in the region to our restaurant at the, you know, best possible price that we can bring it to them for.
Ross Perot says that in America, it's a strange thing that quite often when people get successful, Luciano, they quit doing the very thing that made them successful. Getting to be the best is tough. Staying the best is much tougher. How do you do that?
I think just as we said earlier, just by working extremely hard and setting an example to my employees by starting here at the top, and that we be, when I say we, starting with me working the hardest in the building and having my management team working extremely hard to show them that the customer is our end, as we word it, he's the boss of all of us. Without the clientele, they pay all our bills, we have nobody. And just overseeing that we're making them as happy as possible during their experience with us, so that they'll put us on their list of restaurants when they dine out.
If there's a listener thinking about starting their own business, going into this world of being an entrepreneur, what would you tell them about being an entrepreneur?
I would say to start with the heart. And if it's in a direction of something that you love, that you will be very successful at it, because a job of love doesn't count hours and doesn't feel like, 15 hours won't feel like a long day to you. And if it's something that you really, really enjoy and it starts with something of passion, then I think you'll be very successful and you're on the right track of making a career choice to start a small business.
Mom and Dad come to the restaurant every couple weeks.
Yes.
Do they make suggestions? Do they give critiques?
Constantly. They always make suggestions. They always have a new recipe for me to try, and always have little critiques and ideas about how I could make changes into my plates.
And the word has it that they still call you Chano.
Yes, they still call me Chano. That was my nickname growing up.
We're talking to Luciano Del Signore, and I'm Jack Crisula, and this is Anything is Possible on News Talk 760 WJR. I'm Jack Crisula. This is Anything is Possible. And we're talking to the proprietor of Bacco Restaurante, Luciano Del Signore, who recently opened a second restaurant, Pizzeria Biga, just down the street. Luciano, tell us about Pizzeria Biga.
Pizzeria Biga is a, it's kind of a, it's interesting how we came about it, but it's, we kind of decided to create a pizzeria out of true selfishness to myself, wanting to find the highest quality pizza humanly possible and not having one in my market that I could just go out and purchase on a regular basis. We decided to create a pizzeria. So we spent over 14 months developing the dough, which is the biga. The biga is an ancient word that describes leavening, a natural leavening, kind of almost like a sourdough starter. So we have a natural ongoing fermentation, the biga, that's been growing with us now for probably close to 2 years that we developed to create this pizza dough. And the dough is created with no commercial yeast of any kind and has no fat in it of any kind. It just has organic milled flour, purified water, and sea salt.
You mentioned
the only three ingredients.
You mentioned that you worked on the dough for 14 months.
Correct.
How?
We just we worked on it in our kitchen at Bacco and kept redeveloping the dough and retesting the dough in our gas ovens until I located a wood firing oven of a customer friend of ours that had one in Birmingham. And then we'd start going to borrowing his oven on the weekends and going and testing our product over there. And we worked on it for 14 months till we've got the right chewiness, the right sourness, the right elasticity, the right texture that we were looking for, the right amount of salt, and it was quite a work in process. And not only that, we were trying to blow the right amount of bubbles on the dough. When you cook this dough in the oven, which only takes 90 seconds, it blows these beautiful bubbles on top, and they're chewy and delicious, and they're exactly the way true pizza is supposed to be. And it took us a long time to get that formula down.
I second that. I second that statement. You say it's the healthiest pizza in America. Why?
I say it's healthy because it has no commercial yeast of any kind. And commercial yeast turns out to be what's the hardest part of breads for our body to digest. It's not the flours and not the waters, and it's not the little bit of fat or the salt that they put in it, but it's the commercial yeast and how they grow commercial yeast to makes it very, very difficult to break down in the human body. And so ours not being that, it digests very, very quickly and very, very easily. And I think you can tell by after you eat Biga pizza that an hour and a half later, you don't feel this still fullness of when you normally do when you eat pizza, because the pizza kind of reformulates almost dough in your stomach, and it takes a long time for your body to process and digest. You don't see that at all. So our product will digest very easily. And by way of digestion is a way of healthiness.
You mentioned earlier in this segment that it cooks in 90 seconds
Yes. In
these wood-firing ovens. What's the magic about the wood-firing oven?
Well, the wood-firing oven, we've created these two ovens. You buy you buy what's called a cupola. That's a pre-manufactured dome, and they're primarily made in Italy. And the dome is a specifically engineered shape, and it allows the fire to roll around in a perfect circle up above the pizza. It also keeps the deck of the oven hot. And by way of wood only is a more natural source way to heat the oven, and it's also a natural way to get the oven to north of 900 degrees. It's very, very hard to take a gas oven and make it go to 900. So we're able to do that with wood, and the wood lends a lot of flavor to the pizzas. So north of 900 degrees, very, very hot deck, a very, very natural dough that, you know, ferments for 36 hours before we even get it into the oven. So that it helps break the dough down even in cold fermentation before it goes in the oven. Then when it hits the deck, it cooks right in front of your eyes. It's a minute and a half. It's almost right on the dime every time. And the way of the wood allows the smoke to kind of lend some beautiful natural flavors to the pizzas that are very, very beneficial.
Luciano, anybody that listens to you walks away saying, wow, this man is a world-class chef. He's first-class in his craft. We've had other first-class chefs. Takashi, the Oriental chef at Tribute.
Yes.
And one after one, they leave and they go to Vegas. Why do you stay in Southeast Michigan?
Because I love Detroit. I was born and raised in Detroit, and I believe Michigan is a wonderful state, and it's a great state for me to raise my children here, and I love this community. I love the people here, and I don't see any reason for me to go. And times were tough here in the fall of 2008, and 2009 was awful here, but it was no time to run from it. It was time to batten the hatches and weather the storm and figure out how to help along with everybody else here in this state to make this a better state and make it come back and watch it come back, and as I know, like you know, it will.
Do you think its best days are still ahead of it?
Yes, I do. Go ahead.
Why?
Are you speaking as the state or the city of Detroit, or are you speaking
both?
Both. I think they are. I think that. The automotive companies are going to make a great comeback, and I think that the movie industry moving here into our state has been a wonderful thing, and there's significant money. You see some of the studios that are under construction, like the Raleigh Group in Pontiac. They've got significant dollars going on the ground there. I've seen it with my own eyes, and I've seen the productions and have met a lot of the actors in the restaurant, and I think the state's going to make an extremely strong comeback. New energy, automotive, movie.
Other than when you eat at Bacco's, Luciano Del Signore, what's the best meal you've ever had in your life?
I would probably say that the best meal I ever had in my life, and you know, you mentioned a dear friend of mine, Takashi Yagahashi from Tribute. I had some of the best plates I ever tasted in my life when he was here in his heyday at Tribute. Truly a spectacular chef, and remains to be. And I would say I'd had some of my best dishes with him. But I would say the best Italian food I ever tasted in Italy was, many, many years ago, more than 10 years ago, at Enoteca Pinciniori in Florence, Italy. And when this restaurant was in its prime, it was a Michelin three-star restaurant right downtown Florence, and some of the most impressive combinations of Italian ingredients I've ever seen put together.
When the entire Del Signore family gets together for a holiday, who does the cooking?
Well, up until now, it's always been my father, Papa John. He's always, you know, been our patriarch and has always cooked all the family meals. We've always gathered at his house, and it's been his responsibility. But I think this is going to be his last year. Starting next year, I think I'm going to take over the tradition, and I'm going to cook all the family meals at my house, and the family's going to come to me.
Just a couple months ago, your family lost Tom, a brother.
Dino.
Tragic accident. And at the same time, you had the accident. How has that changed you, Luciano?
Well, it's gotten me to really think about the true importance of life and health and family run right up there at the top. So I've been fortunate to fight back for my little spill and have made a full recovery. And it's just given me a true appreciation of how much I do appreciate that I still have my mother and father with me. And I have my wonderful wife, Monica, and my three children, Ryder, Caprice, and Coco. And now as well as my brother son, Giovanni, who we have to embrace even more. He had one son, and he too wants to be in our business. He's studying at Schoolcraft. He wants to be a chef, and he's in line to be in their culinary arts program. And as soon as we get a little time, we're going to put him under our wing, and we're going to show him the restaurant industry. If that's what he wants to learn, that's what we're going to teach him. And just not to always roll at 75 miles an hour, Jack, to slow down and kind of go a little slower sometimes.
We're talking to Luciano Del Signore, Bacco's Ristorante, www.baccoristorante.com. And I'm Jack Rasul, and this is Anything Is Possible on News Talk 760 WJR. Welcome back to Anything Is Possible. I'm Jack Rasula, and we're with the chef, Luciano Del Signore. You know, that's a great name. There was another great name, Ricardo Montalban, the Spanish guy, you know. Yep. Corinthian leather. So, Luciano, you've lost a lot of weight the last couple years. How have you done it?
You know, I just decided that I needed to get, I could start feeling it at the end of my long days on my feet, and decided I needed to just eat a little healthier, change maybe a little direction in the way I ate, had more meals a day instead of eating one or two meals a day, which it could have been in the old days, and not eating very late after work, and spending a little time next door at my favorite gym, the Franklin Racquet Club. So. I think just the combination of the two has helped me out a lot.
Tiny people eat a lot of meals, but each meal is tiny.
Yes.
Why is many tiny meals better than a couple of big meals?
I think for the same reason the bigger pizza we talked about, it digests quickly. And I think the food that digests quickly and moves on doesn't allow its properties to turn into sugars and fats and go into your blood that's going to cause damage. I think that eating smaller portions is healthier.
There is a revolution today in healthier eating. Everything's organic. And the women in the guys' lives are changing how they eat. You see it everywhere.
Yes.
Talk to us about the trend of healthier living, eating.
I think it's more than a trend. I think the world is going that direction. I think particularly in America, you're going to see more and more of that. And, you know, organics is something we don't know enough about, or we can't produce enough organic fruits and vegetables for everybody only to put your hands on that. I think if you're going to fill up a regular grocery cart, you can find some organic, but not all organic. But I think that the more importantly, that all natural is what people are really, really after. And when we say all natural, we're talking in the meats that we eat, that they're not... you know, they're not filled with hormones and antibiotics and all these kind of things, and that, you know, cows are meant to be grass-fed and they should only be eating grass. They shouldn't be on a grain-fed diet or a corn-fed diet. And this is something that's been engineered, and I think that you'll see more and more farmers coming up as small businesses doing things the right way. And I don't think it's a trend. I think it's the future.
Luciano, how do you explain man's love affair with wine?
Wine is an easy thing to fall in love with. I've been in love with it for many, many years, and hence how I got to the name of Bacco. Bacco is an Italian word for Bacchus, the god of wine. And throughout Bacco, we have a couple images of Bacchus in the restaurant, and we've always built cellars all over where we could, and have one now in our private room, in the private room Saletta. We built a wine cellar there. We got one in our dining room and behind the bar. And it's just, you know, it's a thing that people found out is healthy, and that's a good thing. A little wine a day, they tell you, is very, very good for you. It's good for your heart, good for your blood, so that makes people happy. It's very, very tasty. It comes in a lot of varieties, so it's easy to please a lot of palates. There's some wines more dry, some wines more sweet. There's fuller body, lesser body, food-friendly wines, sparkling wines, champagnes, and I think it's an easy thing to fall in love with, and I think you can please a lot of palates with it, and let's face it, you always feel better after a couple glasses of wine.
John Marshall and I sit here, and you're telling us about all of this healthy stuff, you know, and great for your life, and we look at your head of hair. Can you give us advice? What can we eat for the head of the hair?
I don't think there is any advice for the head of hair. Keep the stress level down.
Italians lead with their hearts. Why?
I think they're very, very warm, loving people, and I think that one thing that I love when I go to Italy is that how well the communities are together, and that, you know, speaking of our city, Sulmona, for example, it's a big social network. You know, every night of the week in the summertime, they all go to do corsa, and that's we go by our center piazza. And after everybody's done with work and everybody's done with dinner and now they have a few hours to rest, that they go on their feet and they walk through the town and they take the time to touch other people and have conversation and shake their hands and see how they're doing. And I think that just people by nature, Italians by nature, are just very warm, loving, giving people.
In these times of the holidays, it brings out great joy in people who are happy. And it also brings out despair and depression in people who are sad. They accentuate both. Yes. You've gone through some tough times here these last few months. What do you say to a listener tonight who's really going through tough times and says, I don't have any hope anymore?
I say you just, you have to reach out, and you still have to find the good in the world and the good in your life. And there's always good. And sometimes it's easy to dwell on the tough parts of life and the sadness that goes on in our lives, but life is here and is now, and it's for us, it's for the living, and you have to make the best of it, and you have to have good balance in your life, and balance is work and play and love and food and wine and drink and all the things that we love, and don't give up. There's a lot of wonderful people out there to talk to and to befriend. And it's very, very important to have good friends in your circle.
Mom and Dad taught you hard work. They gave you a great work ethic.
Yes.
Today, we get this entitlement culture. So many of these young kids today, they've been given everything. They don't have that hard work ethic. You and Monica, how are you trying to give your three children and your late brother's son now that work ethic?
I got to tell you, Jack, it's, you know, I grew up working very, very hard in the house, in my parents' household. It's a very, very difficult thing to do today. It's a different world, and it's a different climate out there. And I'll tell you what I mean. I mean, when I was growing up in my dad's business and I went to work, there were guys lined up at the school I went to ask me if they could get jobs with my father's. We wanted to work. We wanted to put a few bucks in our pocket. It's the kids don't have that meaning, and I still bring my children in over the weekends and on summer vacation, and I bring them into work, and fortunately, they like most of it. Sometimes they're angry at me for forcing them to work, but we try to show them that it's not easy. It's, you know, we didn't get here by luck. It's only by hard work and the amount of time that you put in, and unfortunately, it's a much steeper road for parents to climb today to instill that type of work ethic on their children.
A lot of people say these tough times, challenging times, I can't afford to do things classy until we get more successful. You've always done things classy, even when you weren't successful. What do you say to them?
I say you can't change the road that you're on. You have to still live your life, and we are all just still here. And is one thing that I never feared in my life, and that was the failure in my business. That was a word I couldn't spell, so I never feared opening Baco or going into business for myself. I knew that the harder I'd work, the more successful I would become, and never feared making more money. So it's as long as I'm here, I'm able to do so. So we have to enjoy life as well.
Last question: what advice would you give to our young listeners tonight, Luciano?
I would say, most importantly, I would say is not to give up on Michigan and not to give up on this state, and to after you finish your college educations, I understand there may not be jobs readily available here for everybody right away, but I would certainly seek out and drop all your resumes locally, and try to find your way back, because it's a wonderful state and it's a wonderful place to raise your family, and it's a wonderful place to be.
Thanks for believing in this place. Thanks for serving all of us. Thanks for a lot of great experiences personally. The food is great, but I go there, I feel special. Starting with Neil, Kasia, Stoli, everybody. Keep up the great work.
Thank you, Jack.
Please join us next Sunday. Until then, I'm Jack Rasula. Thanks for listening. And make it a great week, because with God, anything is possible.
Believe.